whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Caitlin Clark is white.
And on that man.
Yeah, baby.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
America, yeah.
He did it early. He did a lot of drugs.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Head coach.
God.
I am an ignorant move.
I do know.
Golf.
Oh.
AIDS. I have AIDS.
I know that I'll probably have to join a white supremacist gang.
Bodies fall out of purses.
Because this is what I was thinking about while I was holding my pecker.
Go ahead and squirt. Honey, go ahead and turn that lamp on.
I would power bottom the hell out of him.
Screw the learned people. Yeah, flags. Fat, uneducated, beer. Yeah. Drugs, balls. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Is that any long?
Solid montage.
Thanks.
It is.
A lot of good drops in the Buckley era of the program. You know, the drops take on a different life when the producer is different. Like, yeah. Remember Mike Lynch?
Yeah, everyone's got their own style.
Yeah.
Right? It's like hiring a new offensive coordinator.
Your That's right.
You're going to change a little bit.
That's right. Did you fart?
Me?
Yeah.
Never. It's possible.
I see it in your eye.
Well, here's the thing. There's only
that
two
is
of
so smelly.
The there's way only he grinned when you asked that, it was an automatic yes.
There's only two of us in this room.
God.
So chances are, if you smell something,
oh, I guess that's true.
And it's not you.
God.
Guess,
dang it, man.
Guess
that
what?
Is rough.
There's a Family Guy bit where Peter's in an elevator and someone starts to smell it and he goes, "It was you."
That is rough. I'm gonna have to broadcast the show like this for about 5 minutes. Holy crap.
Just enjoy that, Rob, like he was a real Scooby, a real Scooby-Doo mystery.
Hey, well, sometimes it's me and I don't even notice it. But that
really?
One.
Really?
Was that me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one was you.
Oof. Yeah.
What'd you have for lunch?
That just kind of snuck out right there. That was a little spicy teriyaki right there is what that was.
My eyes are watering.
You're welcome.
That's like horseradish.
Well, we've got more plane news.
Talk to me.
Jerome Gutierrez was traveling in business class on a United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Manila.
Okay. But that's a significant flight.
This was December 27th, 2 days after Christmas. Or is it Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know why it's not Christmas. Seems to make a little more sense.
A man got up from his seat about 4 hours into the flight.
Yeah, which I'm assuming, I mean, Philippines, San Francisco,
yeah.
That's
maybe you're a third of the way there?
Longer. I'm guessing that's probably a 13 to 14-hour flight.
Yeah, you're probably not even a third of the way there.
Yeah.
He began peeing on another man.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he can do that.
No, you're not supposed to.
No. Like, I'm going to need more kind of details on
what are you going to do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know. Gutierrez's stepdaughter, Nicole, said he was asleep and buckled in and was surprised when he looked at the man and thought he was dreaming. After the pee perp finished peeing, Jerome realized he was soaked from his stomach down.
Oh my gosh.
In that man's urine.
Yeah. 15 hours, by the way, that you'd have to sit there with your, well, I mean, you're 4 hours in, so you had 11 hours to go sitting there with your pee pants.
The Bay Area, it's me, Petey the Peppy Penis. The Bay Area resident remained sitting in his soaked clothes for 8 more hours. Dude, that's rough.
Yeah. What?
Now, Gutierrez says they should have turned the plane around.
No. No.
Thank you.
No, 100% no.
Why? He said it's, well, he says it's a biohazard. Well, and the plane should have turned around to address the issue.
Is it pee sterile? Pee is sterile, right?
Exactly.
So it's not a biohazard.
Exactly.
They should have let you go down into the belly because, you know, you can go down into those planes and get into the cargo hold. Someone should have gone down, found your man's suitcase, and gotten him some dry britches.
Well, it's a very strange deal because we are short on deets, although the man who did the peeing, the pee perp, he actually apologized and begged the guy not to press charges against him.
Well, could he beg me not to whoop his ass? Because that's not a pressing charges thing. That's, I'll just tell you right now, if you pee on another man in a non-comical way, a la in a shower team sort of situation, I can't think of anything that would elicit a fight faster. Maybe spitting in my face. But if I'm in a bathroom and you ever thought to yourself, I would like to fight you, just pee on me. And I promise you that at that point, fists are going to fly. What do you mean? You just wake up covered in another man's urine and you look at him and say what? Like, excuse
well, they
me?
Told him.
Not, my bad.
They told him not to go confront the guy because they didn't want an altercation. So he actually didn't.
So he
but the other guy, the peer, came up to him and said, dude, I'm really sorry.
So how? I'm so confused.
So this guy woke
it's,
up covered
it's a
in
weird,
pee.
Yes, it's
so
a weird
he,
story.
So he didn't get peed on by the guy next to him. Someone
no.
walked
Correct.
Over and pissed on him.
Correct.
And he didn't wake
and
up.
And they don't say why or what happened.
And he didn't
Sounds
wake.
Like sleeping pills for that dude.
And no one else? I'll tell you this right now. If I'm sitting cross aisle and someone I don't know starts getting pissed on, I'm punching that guy for the dude getting pissed on. You don't get to whip it out and drop trow on the airplane. That is the definition of an ass whooping. Unless it's
and Brock, I can squirt from a distance.
Unless yeah. it's Brock Lesnar, then you know you let him pee and you know. You, sorry, Brock, I shouldn't have been in your way. I need more details on this.
Yeah, so Jerome was the guy who got peed on, Mr. Gutierrez.
Yeah,
he was sleeping, and his stepdaughter was there. His stepdaughter's mad at the airline because they told him not to confront the man. She thinks it was handled poorly. She's the one that thinks the plane should have turned around.
As someone points out here, and this is the correct way on the Vancouver Ford text line, number two is the turnaround. Number one is free drinks to the destination. And go in the belly of the plane, find the man's suitcase, and get him some dry britches. I mean, come on. And he should be allowed to kick that guy in the taint. You should get one. It, like, if they're like, hey, we're not going to have a confrontation, you're like, fine. Stand him up. I get one free roadhouse roundhouse kick right to that guy's junk. And then after that, I'll sit back down and mind my own business. But there's no chance you just get to piss on me. And now I got to sit there for eight more hours and just be like, and pretend it didn't happen.
Well, they've banned the peer. He cannot fly on United anymore.
Well, but he didn't get arrested?
It doesn't. No, they didn't arrest.
Oh, my God.
This is very short on deets. I'm sorry for that. But every story I read about this is very light on how it all went down.
Mm. Someone's saying that this is a common thing with sleepwalkers. My old roommate yeah. had peed in his own closet and hamper numerous times.
Yeah, either sleepwalking or, as Buck said, he was drowsed to the gills.
Yeah, I think like sleeping pills,
drugs.
Maybe mixed with some booze can do that.
Yeah, people do that on for long flights, right?
Don't
flight attendants complain about like the zombies walking around because
yeah.
everybody's all drugged up for long flights?
I can probably see that. I told you about the time I took some edibles and ended up having a. I just sat there in my seat the entire time trying not to lose it.
You were raw dogging it.
Oh yeah, that was the only time I've ever. Although it's not raw dog if you're on a bunch of. You know,
that's true.
You're on a bunch of drugs.
Raw dog means you're not on anything.
No,
you're just staring.
I raw dogged a dead rabbit
just
today.
Just sitting there.
I was so petrified that I was going to cause some sort of scene on the airplane. I just sat there gripping my seat tight, staring ahead of me, being like, "Don't give any hints that you're not well." And probably that's the biggest hint is I'm just dead eye staring at the seat in front of me, not moving. But I just don't have any sympathy for that. You can't. You don't get to pee on me and then just be like, oops, that's an ass whooping, or at least we're calling the police.
That's a rough one. Well, they, you know, again, they were mid-flight, and thankfully they didn't turn it around, but the police were called to be there when they deboarded.
And they didn't get him.
Well, I don't think they arrested him, but
no,
they gave him a stern talking to.
They cut off his wanker.
Because that guy, I mean, look, that he's a better guy than me to not press charges. I can't think of a situation where I wouldn't press charges.
Yeah.
And the person could sit there and tell me it's a sleepwalking condition. I took these pills, blah, blah, blah. My answer would be like, I don't care. Am I still covered in piss? Because if I'm still covered in piss, you're going to jail.
You've lost agency over your penis, that's not my problem.
Yes. Or again, we can work this out like men and spread them and let me kick you. I think that's a fair trade-off. A night in jail.
Taint kick.
A night in jail, or I get to boot you in the nuts.
Are your balls jiggling? In other flight news, a person on board a plane at Boston Logan International Airport that was taxiing for takeoff suddenly opened an exit door and was quickly restrained by other passengers. Now, I didn't know you could do that.
I don't think you can when you're in the air because of the pressure, but I think you can do it while you're still on the ground.
Okay.
I do think it's the air pressure that keeps the door shut.
The JetBlue passenger was expected to face charges and be arraigned Wednesday. His name was not released. The opening of the overwing exit door caused an emergency slide to deploy.
Oh.
So they had...
Isn't that something?
They had to get him on a different plane. The only detail we have here is that apparently they were... he was arguing with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody noted that they were arguing behind him, or behind this person.
And he just decided,
and he got up and he's like, I'm out of here.
Wow.
They were arguing over a cell phone. Wow. And then he says the guy just got up and ran down the aisle toward the door.
Boy, it is fascinating to me, these dumbasses that make these sorts of choices. I get you're upset. I get your wife's a bitch. All that stuff. welcome to your federal crime here. And you're going to be driving a lot of places. I have never in my life been able to comprehend that level of rage or whatever to do these sorts of airplane freakout things. You just think you're just going to open up that door while it's moving?
People just aren't in their right mind, man.
I guess.
Freaking out there.
Good thing the passengers, though. I mean, they didn't stop him from opening the door, but they tackled him.
Apparently, some people on the plane were saying that everyone was freaking out.
Yeah.
In this instance.
I just think... Look, I think once you do some wackadoo S on a plane, whatever happens to you, you have it coming. You know, 9/11 and everything moving forward, you got to know, man, when you get on that airplane, that is not your right to be a D-bag to everyone else. And when you lose your S, dude, people aren't taking it anymore. And I say good for the people that are standing up and saying no more to this crap and taking people out.
All right, we've got animal uprising news coming up next.
The Gators are onto something here, and quite frankly, I like it.
On the Fan.
I need to make one final statement about the whole airplane pisser here.
Okay. Right?
Because someone's trying to get all like, Sook, I can't believe you. You're telling me if someone was on prescribed sleeping pills and they peed on you, you would kick their ass. What did I just say? If your bodily fluid goes on me, we're fighting. Plain and simple. Whatever end it comes out of, if you spit on me, if you piss on me, or if you doo-doo on me, we're fighting. Plain and simple. Now, I get it. If you have some sort of medical condition and it's some sort of horrific accident, and you explain that to me before I start losing it, totally get it.
What if I barf on you?
Ugh.
Yeah, there's a good chance you're getting punched. Because here's my thing. Now, if you're one of those and we're in a car together and you get car sick or whatever, again, I understand that there's an issue there. But if you just had 72 beers and your drunk ass is irresponsible and you barf on me, I'm punching you in the face. And this goes back to the airplane pisser, right? If he's on sleepy meds, you can't tell me that you don't know what sleepy meds do to you. If when you take your sleepy meds, if you get up in the middle of the night and you go piss in the hallway, or if adding alcohol to that makes you act a certain way, you can't tell me that you're not aware that this condition exists. And so when you're out there, that's like saying that I got so drunk I didn't know what I was doing.
Then do it in your own home.
Exactly. You don't get to do that. You don't get to go out and get S-faced and then come over and barf on me and be like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drunk. Right? Oh, sorry. I took a bunch of Ambien and then had a couple cocktails, and so I didn't realize what I was doing. No. That is your decision. You were sober and alert when you decided to take those pills, have a couple drinks, and get on an airplane, and you piss on me, you're getting beat up or you're going to jail. I don't want this lack of accountability and self-awareness we have is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, that just sounds like an excuse.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, you're still responsible for the for your behavior.
Yes. Like, I don't mind getting a little loose at times. Yeah, you know,
right.
Mix a couple pills in there and maybe roll one up, do some shrooms, whatever. But I do it from the comfort of my backyard or in my house. I don't do it when I'm getting on an airplane with 300 other people, especially if I know that that elicits a response. And that goes back to you. You're an expert drinker. You know what drinking does to you. If you're a guy that drinks and you turn into a, we all know that guy when he drinks, he gets angry, right?
Yeah.
Well, then that's all. If you go to a concert and you decide to have 9 beers and you know that 9 beers makes you angry and you get arrested or you get beat up at a concert, no one's fault but yours. We've just lost this accountability thing. Oh, I have a medical condition. Then you better not take an airplane where you need to take those pills because there's a chance you're going to piss on a guy. And once you do that, you don't get a say in what happens.
Yeah, the worst guys are the guys that constantly step in it when drunk or high or whatever, and then just apologize but never change their behavior.
And their friends are like, this always happens with him.
Yeah,
and you're like,
it's
really?
Just the way he is. I hate that. That's not just the way you are. You're an ass.
Yes.
And you're inconsiderate.
Yeah.
And you need to clean up your crap.
Yes. I hate that sort of excuse. I didn't mean what I said when I was drunk. Yeah, you did. You wanted to say it. You didn't have the guts to say it, and the booze gave you the courage.
So we have animal uprising news, I hear?
Yeah. So we, you know, the animals are figuring stuff out. And for a while, you know, the whales are on top of things. the whales
not
are
anymore.
Like,
it's the windmills are.
The windmills are driving the whales crazy.
Yeah. That's how we're fighting back against the whales.
This video is kind of terrifying. I had like 4 people send me this, which I love that when there's animal uprising news, I love that people are like, yeah, we're going to you guys. Apparently out in Indonesia, the crocodiles have figured out their crocodiles are mimicking drowning human beings. They're turning over on their backs, and then their little crocodile hands, just the hands, are coming up out of the water and flailing around like a drunk person.
No way.
Look at the videos, man.
And little flailing arms out of the water. You're like, oh, that must be a person.
They're trying to, they're saying that now that they've figured out that they are trying to lure people. When people are in the water and people are flailing, other people come to help. The crocodiles have figured out how to lure people in with their little tiny crocodile hands.
And then they just chomp them up?
And then they just chomp them. Look at this. Tell me if you saw that from a distance, you wouldn't think that that's a person drowning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Whoa.
They've never seen this behavior out of crocs before. And scientists are saying that, yes, alligators and other animals like that can
be
smart and can learn to mimic behavior.
I can't say I knew that crocs' little feetsies looked like that.
Yeah.
They look like little kid hands.
They look like little kid hands. And they, like, I was reading about this. At first, I was like, no way. But there are fishermen in Indonesia, apparently, that are saying that they have seen this. And it's a learned behavior. And a couple times, they have gone over, like, in boats. And then the croc like flips over and they're like, holy crap, that's a croc. And so it does appear right now, according to locals, that this is a learned behavior that the crocs are trying to lure people in.
Who taught them that?
I think they just figured it out.
Well, but it had to be one of them.
Well,
yeah, they saw one drowning villager or fisher person. And then they were like, hey,
like,
guys, did you see what happened? The other humans came around. We could take a bite out of that.
Well, you know, cats, they say that cats, the purr of cats is them mimicking babies. The cats don't naturally purr like that. It's their way of getting attention. Like, animals are smarter than you think. And apparently now crocs have figured out that our dumbasses come a-running when we see little handsies flailing around. Because nothing else comes out of the water when they do this. Just their little, their little tiny...
It certainly looks like a human.
Yeah, just their little...
It's creepy.
Their little tiny hands. And I can totally see someone like, oh my God, you got to get over there and you got to get over there now. And then the croc dips back under the water. And so someone jumps in thinking they need to go down there and grab the person. And imagine jumping in the water and you don't find a little kid. No, no, no. You find 17 feet of croc waiting to snatch your ass.
Wait till the sharks start doing this.
Well,
with their little shark hands.
Their little shark fins. Well, the freakiest behavior is when the whales figured out how to flip the sharks over.
Yeah.
Apparently, with great white sharks, if you roll a great white shark onto its belly, it becomes comatose. And somehow, the killer whales figured this out. So the one killer whale messes with the shark in the front. Another one comes behind, grabs it by the tail, and just rolls it. And immediately becomes catatonic, and then they rip open the shark and eat its liver. How did they figure that out? Someone explain to me that.
The wild ones, too, are, have you seen the videos where, like, the polar bear is on the ice?
Yeah, the float.
The floating ice.
Yeah.
And the whales just basically bump him off.
Yeah. They create, like, a tidal wave.
Yeah.
And then there's two others waiting on the other side.
Catch him and eat him.
It's terrifying. The animals crazy. Are figuring this out, man. And now we've got crocs fake drowning. So I'm just saying, next time you're, you're in Florida, wait till the Indonesian crocs tell all the Florida gators about this. You see these little kind of baby hands in a pond over in Florida, and you're like, oh my God, I got to run over there and save that kid.
Billy Napier's going to have them all fired up.
Yeah.
All right, up next, we've got more Burning Mansions.
Not just Ricky Lake.
No, the list is long.
Is it hard to feel sympathy for celebrities?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I saw an emotional post today, and I want to discuss it.
Okay. I mean, sympathy's there. Less so than...
Yeah. And I saw this, and I had questions today. I watched a video today of a celebrity, and it was very emotional, but at the same time, I felt sadness, but also that I felt like I was kind of being ass because I...
Well, you were.
I didn't really care, and I want to discuss.
All right. That's next. First Buck with Sports. Well, we were talking about it earlier, but we've got the fires in California.
Dude, it looks like an absolute hellscape. It's terrifying.
Yeah, and it's weird because they're right there by the ocean.
Yeah.
They're south, just south of Malibu.
Here, you're like 12.
Just north of Santa Monica.
12 miles from basically like Los Angeles proper. But, I mean this is burning through the Malibu and Pacific Palisades. And
so a lot of celebrities losing their rich mansions.
And that's the part where I struggle sometimes with the coverage.
Well, like, we've got, do you want a list so far?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Billy Crystal has lost his mansion.
Yeah.
The great John Goodman has lost his mansion.
I love John Goodman.
Eugene Levy.
Love Eugene Levy.
Has lost his mansion.
But I keep seeing these articles about this stuff.
And Ricky Lake. Heidi and Spencer Pratt. Cameron Matheson. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Carrie Elwes?
Carrie Elwes?
Elwes? Who's that?
Princess Bride. Princess Buttercup.
Carrie Ewells? Is that how you say it? Is it Elwes?
Ewells? Elwes? I don't know.
Yes.
Never heard of her.
It's not... You have. It's a guy.
It's the dude from The Princess Bride. You know him.
Oh, that guy.
Thanks for paying
attention. Little...
Thanks for paying attention, Buck. I literally...
The little...
He didn't acknowledge it. Try to tell
him
again.
Well, I heard it, but I just... Carrie Elwes?
You've seen him.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I promise you.
The handsome guy.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Saw.
Yeah, okay.
Seinfeld has been in lots of stuff.
That's the list. Okay.
That's the list.
Proceed.
Well, it's just like...
So Mandy Moore?
I saw an interview today with... I guess it wasn't an interview. She just posted. It was Whitney Cummings.
Whitney Cummings, the comedian?
The comedian. And
am I the only one that doesn't think she's very funny?
No. It's not necessarily my cup of tea. I saw her in person once down in L.A.
She good?
She was all right. Not again. Not my, you know. But she was on there and you know, she was talking about her house or her mansion and her podcast studio. And, you know, and she was crying. And I was like, man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it gets all this attention and, like, the, you know, all these, like, I keep seeing these things about, like, mansions burning down and all that. But, like, John Goodman's fine. John Goodman can leave and go to one of his 9 other houses. What about the poor bastard that doesn't have good insurance and or that has a small business and this just everything's wiped out? It's just it's weird when we have something like this that truly is a natural disaster of like, I mean, this is borderline as bad as it gets right here with some of these wildfires in January. And we kind of get the thoughts and prayers of Tom Hanks and Whitney Cummings and John Goodman.
Yeah.
And
well,
and is it wrong that when I saw her tears for a brief moment, I felt sorry, and then I was like, well, you have millions of dollars, you can pack up and move to one of your other homes. I'm more concerned about the family of three that actually doesn't live in a man. The fact that you're saying your Malibu mansion burns to the ground, it's just it's
hard. Someone's home, regardless of whether you have many of them, someone's home burning down is a traumatic experience, yes. Regardless of who you are.
No question. But I have a bigger problem with them posting on social media. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's kind of my...
So there you're looking for sympathy
from millions of people who you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's weird. It's like
that
if you're
strange.
you're Whitney Cummings, you're famous, and you're really going through a traumatic experience
talk
like
to
losing
a friend.
Your house. You're not, like, most people aren't going straight to social media with that. That is not a good look.
Yeah. It's like when Gal Gadot or whatever did
Gal
the
Gadot.
Like during the pandemic, and she was like, "We're all going to get together and sing a song," and people were like, "Bite me, Gal." Like,
yeah.
It just it's weird.
Well, the celebrity in general does not ever get much of any benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Ever. We're quickly. I was actually reading an article today about the death of the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. Not the death; they didn't die, but just that society is moving towards a more, particularly the youngs.
Mm-hmm.
They just want it. You're moving into the podcast and YouTube, and more authenticity. You know,
yes,
in people,
yeah.
And that's what the youngs are consuming. They want authentic, and you don't get that with celebrities, and so. People like the Kardashians, these contrived figures, are all just losing their followings. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not authentic.
Yes.
Or it doesn't seem authentic.
It's not.
So I think that celebrities in general, we just dislike, like, we're not going to give them, they're fading. Their stars are fading.
There is a level to it. And I thought Whitney Cummings to me, and this was kind of my thing, Whitney Cummings is probably my Mendoza line of celebrities. Like, if you told me that. I don't know.
Whoever opened for Whitney Cummings is not making your list of celebrity, but she is barely on it.
Yeah, it's like right there. But if you told me, I'm trying to think of someone that like that's a celebrity, but like, is it like what would be the like someone?
Mandy Moore.
Someone said Steve Guttenberg got interviewed today.
He was interviewed on the news, and the person interviewing him didn't know who he was.
Well, there's mine. Like, Steve Guttenberg, like, I'm guessing he's more like a normal dude now. And I'd be like, oh, man, Steve Guttenberg, that sucks. Like, you know, your house.
He's not filthy rich.
Yeah, like, your house burned down. But when I hear that, like, The Rock's house burned down, I'm like, dude, you're worth, like, $500 million.
Go to your house on the other shore.
Yes. Like, it's.
Your mansion over there.
Yeah, like, during the Malibu wildfires. Or not the Malibu, but the Hawaii fires.
Oprah.
Like, yeah, it's the Oprah thing. It's like, well, I get it, Oprah, but, you know. It's hard, and maybe you're the spokesman, and so you can raise. Someone said, like, you raise awareness, and if they interview Bob Smith, but do we need awareness for these fires? Like, who's not aware that California is literally burning to the ground right now, and yet we focus on Ricky Lake's house? It's weird. It's weird.
Ricky Lake.
Someone said, come on, guys, if you lost a house to a disaster, you'd get on air and talk about it and how it affected you. I wouldn't post it to Instagram.
Well,
no,
yeah,
I wouldn't.
That's totally different. Yes,
I have
our
a show I would talk about
our
my life.
Show is about us and our personalities and our life experiences. And that, yes, that is part of our show.
That's an appropriate place for
us. Yes. And that's not to garner sympathy. It's our show.
Yeah.
Social media is, like, supposed to be, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't think a lot of people take their biggest life's tragedies and go straight to social media with it.
Except I hate to tell you now, but I think a lot of people
do, I guess.
It's you know, when something tragic happens, like, there's people that, I see it all the time. Someone's, like, parent or mom or dad, or I've seen kids, they're, like, laying in the hospital dying, and someone takes a selfie of the damn hospital bed, and they're like, I'm like, what are you doing? Again, like, if my house is literally burning down, I promise you, you will not see me with a camera in front of my burning house and be being like, hold on, I got to get this
up to Instagram.
Did you
see that video from yesterday of the like the two dudes in the house with the dog and
yes.
they're fully surrounded by flames?
There is fire all around and they're like, hey, we're
it's
on
good,
Instagram live. You're like, oh my God. It's like when there's a mass shooting and someone's like the Vegas shooting.
They start videoing it instead of running?
Yeah, there's people on the ground like cowering and like, hold on, let me get my phone out. It's just, it's bizarre to me. It's bizarre how we now cover and handle any sort of tragedy. But these fires, like some of the video coming out of this stuff and some of the news coverage, it's just, it's insane right now. And of all the things going down, I don't know. I just, the fact that, you know, John Goodman lost his mansion in Malibu, I saw a whole article today on TMZ about Paris Hilton, who, by the way, had a very nice Malibu house that isn't there anymore.
Right on the beach?
Yeah, it's hard for me to be like, oh, well. Oh no! Your beachfront house burned down.
Ricky Lake net worth?
$15 million.
$20 million.
Yeah. You think about too, like the recovery effort for something like this. How long does it take to like insurance companies and just how long is that going to take to sort all that crap?
Have you heard the new big insurance bugaboo too? That like. Some insurance companies basically took fire insurance out of all these home policies in the last year of all these ones that burned down.
No way.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's going to be a thing.
Oh, boy.
This is
no way on insurance companies.
Yeah.
Screwing people over.
Yeah. And how many, you know, I'll bet you a lot of people didn't read the fine print and all
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
And they're going to find out that there's nothing.
I'll be honest with you. I have insurance because you have to your home. I don't even know what's covered, really.
Yeah. One, I think unfortunately, I think that happens to so many people, and then you find out when you do get your car broken into, or you get your house damaged, or whatever. And
is earthquake? It's not in there, is it?
I don't think.
I've always thought earthquake you have to buy separate.
I think you have to buy separate. Same thing with like flood and different stuff. I had a leak a number of years ago. Remember the infamous hole in my ceiling that I kept for like 2 years?
Yeah.
Loved that thing, but that was one where. Apparently, if a pipe under my old policy, if a pipe burst, like ruptured, then that's fine. It's covered.
They cover that.
They cover that.
Yeah.
But if my pipe only cracks and it leaks over the span of like a month and then causes massive water damage, not covered.
Really?
Yes. That's what I found out. None of that was covered.
Why?
One's viewed is like a catastrophic failure, and the other one's viewed as like a wear and tear sort of. That's what I was told. That because they couldn't prove that because the pipe never like burst. It was some sort of crack or leak in a plumbing fixture somewhere in the wall. I should have been aware of it, and because it happened over an extended period of time, and they don't know how long it was, whatever. That it was not covered. I got a different insurance after that. I was like, are you kidding me? So I was like, I would have been better off going into my wall and just kicking my pipe open, waiting for the whole thing to flood for an hour, and then I would have been fine. That's fine print, man.
Stupid.
All kinds of stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and who's reading through all that?
I don't know. But this is going to be, the last time I checked, this was earlier today, it was 0% contained. Zero. Yeah.
Well, it can't go anywhere. It's hit the ocean.
Yeah.
But south...
It can,
is Santa Monica.
Yeah.
But there's mountains there.
Yeah, what if it gets... I mean, can it get over?
I mean, imagine it can.
With some of the winds, all you need is some embers, you know, kick over, and then you're into downtown L.A., and, you know, it's...
Wild. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan. That's right, pub beer.
Woo!
Let's go have a bunch of pub beers tonight.
Got them in the garage.
Yeah, you do.
This will not be a dry January.
You know what I have in my fridge? This is going to blow you away.
What do you got?
Michelob Ultra.
Yeah? You become a Michelob Ultra guy, have you?
No.
Oh.
Not even remotely.
You don't drink a lot of beer.
I don't drink any beer.
Is that just a holiday leftover thing?
Yeah, somebody brought it over.
Yeah.
It was family.
So now you just have...
So now it's just sitting in there.
How long till that Michelob
It will not... Until they come back. I mean, I may have one... Like...
You should probably just dump it out, because it's going to go skunky after a while.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
No?
I'm just going to keep it in there. And when they come back, if they ever come back, it'll be in there for them. Save them a little money.
I have a...
Or I'll just offer it to people who I don't...
Sure. Yeah, like here. You want
to pay like here, you... I don't know. I'll offer it to the Michelob Ultra types that come over.
There you go.
Perhaps my neighbor, Joe.
I have a, I don't keep any beer. I have a garage beer fridge. And I will say that at any given time, there's at least three or four rando beers in there from leftover parties or gatherings or whatever. And I just, I think some of that stuff probably has been sitting in there for at least a year.
Yeah.
And I will never, ever drink it. But you're right. When someone comes over, I always do that because I always have like two or three standard beers. And then I'll always offer up the, I don't know, there's something else in here if you want it. I don't know. It's always some sort of pumpkin spice lager or there's like a stout or something. You're like, I don't know.
Is it ever bad to have crappy light beer on hand?
No, I love crappy.
Because there's always somebody that wants to drink it.
But that's what I drink.
Well, I'm saying for us people that aren't trashy like you.
You don't, well, I don't, I mean, pub beer, Coors, Rainier, that's not light beer. It's just they're dad beers. Fat, uneducated beer!
Yeah, I think that goes in a different category.
Does it?
I mean,
like, I don't have Busch Light.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, is it ever bad to have a Michelob Ultra or a Busch Light or a High Life in your fridge?
Don't be
a Coors Banquet.
Be discouraging the High Life.
Well, again,
love the High Life.
They all go
the
in
champagne
the same
of beers.
Yeah,
they all go in the same category.
Then the answer is no.
It's not bad to have that. Just in case.
Those are like
4th of July beer.
Those are my everyday beers, though. Like if if I mow the lawn, guess what? There's a beer coming after I mow the lawn, and it is always going to be.
Well, you'd have a pub beer.
One of those, absolutely. It's going to be one of those beers. There's certain activities that I do that just require a beer. I would say mowing the lawn, 100% beer. Any sort of, I'll just say any sort of outdoor project, pressure washing, gutter cleaning, any sort of weed pulling, there's a beer. And by the way, those are beers while I'm doing them. That's not an after beer. That's a during beer. Same thing, Christmas lights, 100% of beer.
Grilling beers.
Yeah, grilling beer.
Definitely.
I will not cook unless there's a beer going on there. I would say any game that I've made a decision to sit down and watch, not like, hey, it's Sunday, I'm flipping on the TV. No, I'm sitting down and watching the Cotton Bowl, or that's a beer. I'm not going to not have a beer while watching that game. And those are all going to be those, not Busch Light. I don't go down that road, but yeah, they'll be.
You're not that bad.
Well, there's not a difference. Keystone Light, Busch Light, I feel like those are different.
No, Keystone Light and Busch Light? No.
Those things are terrible.
Yes.
I don't consider the High Life terrible.
Why do you think they're different? They're all the same.
I think the High Life or Banquet, I think that's different than Busch Light.
Those are all the same.
It's all the
same. Now, when you get into the pub beer,
there is a separation between those in that bad cheap beer realm.
No, there
isn't. Yeah, I mean, I would put Keystone and Busch Light a little bit below your pub beer.
Okay, a little bit below. But if you're making categories, they're all in the same category. Mm. They're cheap,
it's cheap fun.
Light American beers.
It's cheap fun. That's the whole point.
But the pub beer, I feel like, is better, is a better version of that.
Okay. It's elevated. It's elevated cheap
because
fun.
It's made by somebody who knows what they're doing and not mass producing, you know, crap.
It's delightful.
But people love it. Like in America, I mean, you go around any, like, I get out of the Northwest.
Yeah.
If you don't get out of the Northwest, you don't know this. But you get out of the Northwest,
that's all there is.
All it is Michelob Ultra. Yep. Look at crowd shots at football games and
that's
stuff.
That's all it is.
People are drinking Michelob Ultras right and left.
Well, it was the number one reason, or the reason for years and years, the number one beer in America, and it wasn't even close, was Bud Light. Until, it turned, the whole Kid Rock thing. And now it's Modelo. Which I also, can I say, I find Modelo to be...
I like Modelo.
A better version.
Good.
Like, if you ask me the difference between Modelo and Bud Light, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's night and day.
I'll buy Modelo. I won't buy Keystone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Modelo, to me, goes in the pub beer category.
Yeah.
Or the pub beer grouping.
Now, I will say, see, and I
Corona. Now, Corona, I'm putting down with the crappy light beers.
See, and I will give you this. I think the Banquet... Coors Banquet, which I love. I think that's pub beer. But I will admit, the Rainier that I like to drink and a High Life, I think that's straddling the line, but I get it. That's that's more Busch Light.
I mean, I love the Banquet too. Yeah. The can is great.
Yeah.
But let's not try to make it more than it is, okay?
See, I think it's better. I think it's a robe.
Well, okay, but there's a difference between better and, like, that's why I say the Corona goes, you know, like, the Corona and the Modelo are probably the same type of thing, right?
Yeah.
But I can't stand Corona, so therefore I'm putting it south. But I know that that's probably in the same category. And I think this is true with you, with Coors. You know that it goes in the below category.
I just probably elevate it in my mind.
But you like it. I like it. So you elevate it, which is fine, but come on. It goes with all the others.
The bar
just has a nice can.
The bar I normally drink at only has like 3 beers on tap. And when I go there, it's the only time, but it's Hams. They have Hams on tap.
Hams.
And that's...
There's another one.
I go to the land of sky blue waters when I belly up at Jerry's, because that's my... And it's delightful, but yes, I know what I'm drinking. I can't elevate Hams.
Yeah.
It's just... It's,
and again, let's reiterate, there's nothing wrong with drinking any of this stuff. Yeah. It's just... Let's call it what it is.
Call it what it is.
It's garbage.
I don't like that. I don't like calling it that.
Garbage poison. Except the elevated pub beer.
That's right. I'm going to go home and have a cheap fun night.
Cheap fun. All right. Everybody have a great night. We are back Friday. Wait, is tomorrow? What is tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah. We're back Friday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain.